You're listening to an episode of a Wondery Plus exclusive series. To continue listening, join Wondery Plus and enjoy ad-free listening to over 40,000 episodes, early access to your favorite podcasts, and more. Find Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
It's October 1999 at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Oklahoma's first-year offensive coordinator, Mike Leach, is standing on the sideline. Leach is 38 years old and an out-of-the-box thinker, personality, and pass-heavy offensive coach. He has a naturally calm, matter-of-fact presence, but can't help but to feel some butterflies. The game hasn't even kicked off yet, and he's about to use some CIA wannabe tradecraft to try and win a college football rivalry game. Leach sneaks a laminated sheet of paper to one of his players. On that sheet is a list of plays and signals that Leach has scripted out for the Oklahoma offense to run later today against their arch rivals, the Texas Longhorns. The player slips the sheet into his belt as the Oklahoma Sooners warm up on the field, but as he walks towards the locker room, the sheet accidentally slips to the ground. Moments later, a student assistant for Texas picks it up. He looks around to be sure no one notices, and then he puts it into his pocket. But at that very moment, Mike Leach is watching out of the corner of his eye. Perfect, he thinks. Not many coaches would set up an elaborate act of deception, but not many coaches are anything like Mike Leach. When the game kicks off, it's immediately clear to Leach that Texas is calling defensive plays to counter Leach's dummy game plan. They fell for the trick. Leach then calls plays designed to take advantage of where Texas is now weak. If the decoy play sheet calls for a throw to the left, Leach calls a throw to the right. You get the idea. The Texas defense is notably confused. Way out of sorts, Oklahoma receivers are running wide open downfield. The much better Texas looks terrible. The Sooners offense is taking it to the Longhorns. They quickly go up 17-0.
So on first down, Heupel wide open is the freshman Savage. He's got running room. One man to beat, it's Jackson to the end zone. Touchdown, Oklahoma.
Eventually, though, Leach knows things will even out. The Longhorns are still much more talented and a more finely tuned football machine. And that's what happens. The Horns eventually shake off the weird opening few minutes, stick to their initial game plan, and go on to win the game 38-28. But still, for a decent amount of time, he knows he outfoxed Texas, a school that's long viewed itself as more sophisticated and more intelligent, that's long looked down on its neighbors to the north. The boldness of the mission is just the opening shot to announce a new era in the rivalry for the long-struggling Sooners. Thanks to Leach, even if it didn't end in a win, there's a familiar spark to Oklahoma. The actual wins? Well, they'll come soon enough.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway.
You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm Dan Rubenstein, and this is Sports Wars. In our previous three episodes, we explored the college football rivalry between Georgia and Florida, two programs and fan bases who've grown to despise each other, even as they party side by side in Jacksonville once a year. Now we turn to another age-old, heated rivalry. Like Florida versus Georgia, it's played at a neutral site, the Red River Showdown, also known as the Red River Rivalry, also known as the Red River Shootout. It's Oklahoma versus Texas, played at the Cotton Bowl, a stadium square in the middle of the Texas State Fair. We'll start by looking at how the early days of the rivalry go beyond sports and how a legend with ties to both schools turned the heat up to unprecedented levels. But before the Red River Shootout becomes one of the most heated annual battles in all of sports, there's nearly an actual shootout. This is episode one, the Red River Shootout. It's the summer of 1931. The governor of Oklahoma is patrolling the Red River Bridge, which connects Oklahoma to Texas. He's carrying a revolver, and he's prepared to go to war with Texas, if that's what it takes. He's here because he's furious with the governor of Texas over a free and toll bridge that both connect the two states over the Red River. Oklahoma wants a free bridge for all, Texas wants tolls, and they begin battling over barricades on either side. "You've got gall," the Texas governor tells him. Typical. The Oklahoma governor thinks of a state that thinks it can control what we do. So he tells the Texas governor in a few short words, "Back the hell off. You don't seem to know your boundary," the Oklahoma governor says. Things get tense, everybody has guns, but the bridge conflict settles down eventually. The feeling behind the tension, though, well, that'll last between Texas and Oklahoma on the football field for generations to come. It's Oklahoma as the outsider upstarts who feel like they're standing up to a bully, and Texas as the giant, rich superpower trying to put these strange northern intruders back in their place. When the two schools began meeting on the football field in 1900, Oklahoma wasn't even officially a state. The university had been founded only 10 years earlier in a small town called Norman. Norman was also established then, during the first of the free-for-all land grabs into the unassigned Native American territory. Those early settlers, who often jumped the pistol shot that launched those runs a little too soon, were called Sooners. As Oklahoma established its football team in the early 1900s, the nickname stuck. In those early days, the rivalry largely moved between Norman and Austin, the sprawling state capital where the University of Texas had been established. The differences between the towns were stark, even then. Over the years, they would only deepen as Norman grew into a sleepy college town that exists largely in the shadow of the state's nearby capital, Oklahoma City, and Austin into a wildly popular city seen as a capital of music and culture. Not surprisingly, given its vast resources, Texas dominated the rivalry early on, winning a healthy majority of the games well into the Depression era. Oklahoma, for their part, may have had scrappier coaches who tried to make up the gap in resources, but Texas just had more talent. Starting in 1929, the game is moved to a new venue known as the Cotton Bowl, right in the middle of the Texas State Fairgrounds and exactly halfway between Norman and Austin. In the hours before the game, fans can wolf down fried food and ride the Ferris wheel before piling into the Cotton Bowl to celebrate just how much they love seeing their team destroy the other. Both schools may have other in-state rivals, but the programs and their fans know that this neutral 50-50 home for the game, with a state fair backdrop no less, makes this rivalry charmingly unique. Maybe Texas is bigger and more powerful, maybe they see Oklahoma as their poor relative to the north, but the Sooners aren't just gonna roll over and take that condescension forever. Sure, it's mostly farmland and prairies and not much else, but this is tough territory, frontier territory. Ever since its origins, Oklahoma's been a place for rebels and bootstrappers seeking an edge. The football team is no different. Just as their governor refused to back down, on the football field, Oklahoma will quickly become a thorn in Texas's side, and then much more. It's October 9th, 1948. Bud Wilkinson is pacing inside the Oklahoma locker room of the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. He's reminding his young team of how disrespected they felt the year before. Wilkinson is 32 years old, a Navy veteran, and even as a young guy, he's old school in his beliefs. He's been hired in part to restore the morale of the entire state of Oklahoma. The Sooners have now beaten Texas only three times since 1930. Wilkinson plans to channel all that losing and frustration into a fiery pregame speech that focuses on how Oklahoma got cheated out of a win here last year.
1 second to go, and here's the disputed play. Canaday's fumble is scooped up by Clay, who rushes across. The Sooner coach says Clay's knees touch the ground, but the ref says touchdown.
After the missed call, the normally low-key Wilkinson ripped a gray fedora off his head in anger. And then, Wilkinson reminds his team, that same referee had no problem screwing them over again. First, Texas scored on a questionable call in the second half. Then, the Oklahoma fans in attendance lost it, throwing bottles and seat cushions onto the field. Later, when the game ended in an easy 34-14 Texas win, fistfights broke out everywhere. Fans then rushed the field and attacked police officers with bottles.
The teams retire, but the battle continues on the field. A police car is needed to protect the game's officials. They take their football seriously in the Southwest.
Okay, so maybe the Oklahoma fans took things a bit too seriously. But the entire state is tired of being looked down on. Wilkinson still thinks his football team could be their great equalizer. This is a different team than it was last year, Wilkinson knows. After that loss, he made a bold prediction to one sportscaster. "I'll tell you one thing," he said. "We may not lose another game for 3 years." Wilkinson looks around the room at his team. He knows he's got more talent on his roster than last year, maybe more talent than Oklahoma's ever had. He's been recruiting hard, both in his adopted home state and in Texas. He's plugged in a number of speedy athletes into his up-tempo running offense known as the Split T. One of those prize recruits is his halfback, a local Oklahoma kid named Daryl Royal, who can also play quarterback and defensive back. He's a punter, too. The kid can do it all. Yet somehow, this team already lost its first game of the year out in California. They lost to Santa Clara, not exactly a football powerhouse. These guys just need a wake-up call, and what better motivation is there to beat Texas than revenge? "They took advantage of you last year," Wilkinson thunders. "We're not gonna let it happen again." Moments later, his players run out onto the Cotton Bowl field where 70,000 excited fans make up the biggest crowd ever up to that point for a Texas-Oklahoma game. The rivalries hit a new level, and Wilkinson is about to turn it on its head, fast. Oklahoma leans on its deceptive speed and improving talent to take down the Longhorns. The final is Oklahoma 20, Texas 14. And as Wilkinson watches Sooner fans tear down the goalposts in celebration, he thinks about what he told that sportscaster about this team going on a years-long run. Even in this moment, Wilkinson doesn't know just how dead on those confident words were and would become. Just as he couldn't have suspected that it'll take one of his very own players to eventually shift the balance of power back in the Longhorns' direction.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
It's October 11th, 1958, a decade after Bud Wilkinson turned things around for Oklahoma. On the sideline of the Cotton Bowl, Daryl Royal is feeling nauseous. This isn't the first time the sheer intensity of a Texas-Oklahoma game has made him sick to his stomach. But today, he's facing his old coach, Bud Wilkinson, a man he looks up to like no other.
This game pits the pupil against the teacher, for Texas coach Daryl Royal on the left learned his football from Bud Wilkinson at Oklahoma.
It's only Royal's second year as the head coach at Texas after leaving the University of Washington. When Texas called him about the job, he pretty quickly got over his old feelings about the Longhorns. The job was too good to pass up, even with his alma mater Sooners dominating the Longhorns. After Royal helped OU beat Texas in 1948, the Sooners won 30 games in a row. Soon after that, Oklahoma then ripped off a ridiculous 47-game winning streak. In that time, they won a pair of national championships, beat Texas 9 out of 10 times, and even racially integrated the football team with the enrollment of Prentice Gott, an all-conference running back. Oklahoma is now light years ahead of their rivals in Orange. After taking over a lowly Longhorn squad that won one single game in 1956, Royals completely turned the program around and done so quickly. A win over Oklahoma today would be the last step in that turnaround. Before the game, Royal is somewhat optimistic. Maybe we can stop that bloodletting up at Dallas, he says, and turn it into a good show. And now, his team's just scored the first touchdown of the game. That's when Royal holds up two fingers as a signal to his team. We're going for two. A new rule allows for teams to try for 2 points by running an extra play near the goal line after a touchdown instead of kicking for one extra point. It's aggressive, and Royal loves it. He figures that given how little room the offense has to operate, that maybe Oklahoma's expecting a trick play. So he calls a simple play right through the line. It works. His halfback plows over an Oklahoma defender. It's 8-0 Texas. Later on in the game, when the Longhorns drive 74 yards for a touchdown, they go up 15-14. And that's the final score. The 2-point conversion makes all the difference in the world. When Oklahoma's school president comes into the locker room to congratulate Royal, the Texas coach is nowhere to be found. So the administrator keeps looking, heads around back, and finds the coach where he's been the last several minutes. Bent over, throwing up, his face a pale shade of green. Daryl Royal is overwhelmed, both excited and ashamed all at the same time. It just doesn't seem right to beat Mr. Wilkinson, Royal tells Oklahoma's president. And while he might get used to it soon enough, Royal knows in order to succeed, he has to find a way over, around, and through Wilkinson's Oklahoma super teams, both on and off the field. Over time, Royal's seen how Wilkinson's made good on the key priority for any Oklahoma football coach: recruit Texas high school football players. Longhorn coaches may not have to recruit talent in Oklahoma, but Oklahoma coaches have to recruit in Texas. The enormous pool of talent next door is just too big not to. Royal's trying to find a way to stop his old mentor from stealing the talent that should be staying home and coming to Texas. He knows how Wilkinson and his staff have developed a literal pipeline of Texas talent, recruiting many of them with the help of Oklahoma alums and boosters who have made a fortune in the oil industry. Come to Oklahoma, and we can get you set on the road to the same kind of fortune. Oklahoma's gotten so good at recruiting that Texas and other schools have started to accuse Wilkinson of cheating. And those charges aren't unwarranted. Oklahoma's already been on probation for recruiting violations, and there are rumors that Wilkinson's staff and OU boosters are paying players under the table. Royal would never accuse his old coach of any of this. But the talent Wilkinson's stealing away is talent Royal wants. These are players he needs. It's October 12, 1963, in Dallas. Bud Wilkinson paces the sidelines at the Cotton Bowl. He knows this might be his last chance at a national title after a string of disappointing seasons. His team is now back ranked number one in the country heading into the game against Darryl Royal's Longhorns, who are right behind them at number two. Wilkinson and Oklahoma won multiple national titles in the 50s, but the 60s aren't off to a great start for the Sooners. For the first time in several years, his team appears to have regained its confidence after losing five straight to Royal and Texas. And being ranked number one isn't enough. Wilkinson's desperate to get back to beating the Longhorns. As Wilkinson stares out at his team, he sees his best player, a running back named Joe Don Looney. Wilkinson's taken a chance on Looney in an attempt to keep up with Royal's much-improved recruiting efforts at home in Texas. Here's the thing, though. Looney's a unique, anti-authority wildcard. He actually attended Texas for a semester before flunking out. And now, Wilkinson's giving him a shot at Oklahoma. Normally, the strict, old-school Wilkinson taking on and putting up with a personality like Looney's just wouldn't happen, but now the coach needs anything and anyone he can get to beat Texas. And now, in the early 60s, that old-school coach is seeing that the world is moving in a new direction. He's taking a chance on Looney with the hope that this talented running back who doesn't really want to go to practice, who questions everything he's told, will be a difference maker. It goes against everything in Wilkinson's gut, but he's also a coach trying to beat his rival. Turns out, Looney's got nothing. The Texas defense has all the answers. Looney runs for a total of 6 yards. The Longhorns win easily 28-7 and go on to win the 1963 national championship. Wilkinson can just feel the end coming. He's already made the decision to kick Looney off the team after the game, but it's too late. Wilkinson's world is quickly changing, both on the field and off, and he can't keep up. All he can do now is watch as his former protege takes his place as the dominant coaching figure in this rivalry. It's Darryl Royal and Texas's game to dominate now. And they do, winning 12 of 13 Red River games between 1958 and 1970, and two more national championships. But then, with the start of the 70s, as a new era begins up north in Norman, Royal finds himself squaring off with an entirely new breed of Oklahoma coach. He's the son of an Arkansas bootlegger and a pedal-to-the-metal offensive mind bent on destruction. He's a perfect new fit with an old Oklahoma frontier edge, and by the time he's done, he'll bend rules, talk trash, and bring home trophies. Barry Switzer, welcome to Norman. In our next episode, The Outlaw, we'll dive into the games, stories, and impact of the Barry Switzer era at Oklahoma, including the original Red River spy mission, which will set the rivalry's tone for years to come. If you enjoyed this series, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening on a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of this podcast. You'll find the episode notes and some offers from our sponsors. By supporting our sponsors, you help us offer the show for free. If you like what you've heard, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe. They'll say something like, any good podcast you're listening to? And you'll say, yeah, I'm really digging Sports Wars, actually. See, that easy. Another way to support us is to answer a short survey at wondery.com/survey and tell us what Sports Wars stories you'd like to hear. And a quick note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, Dan Rubenstein. I also co-host the Solid Verbal podcast if you're looking for more college football podcasting in your life. Michael Weinreb wrote this story, produced by Yaron Descalo, Gabe Goodwin, and Matt Ford. Edited by Caleb Bissinger. Sound design by Ryan Sack of Kill the Messenger. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect forever.